Well, good afternoon. My name is Ann Ballard, and I'm here to talk to you today about the purchasing behaviors of consumers who purchase handmade artisan items from other countries. I'd like to start off by saying that this is a counterpart to a larger study that Dr. Gurman and myself did to assess the lessons learned from income generation and health education among indigenous Guatemalan women artisans. Therefore, this study will also focus on Guatemala. So understanding the purchasing behaviors of likely consumers is very important because many organizations provide income generation opportunities for artisans as a way to alleviate poverty. And if artisans do not have a strong market through which to sell their products, they'll be unable to sustain their small businesses, and organizations that provide these income generation programs will be unable to create a sustainable model through which to improve the health and well-being of their participants. So I have no relationships to disclose. So as many of you know, income generation programs are used to alleviate poverty by providing disenfranchised populations with increased economic opportunities. So microfinance programs are the most common or most popular form of income generation programs. There are over 3,000 microfinance programs in the world, serving more than 200 million people, the majority of whom are women. And microfinance programs target low-income individuals who lack access to formal banking services and provide them with small loans so that they can start or grow their own business. They also often provide certain types of trainings for their clients, such as business training, civil rights training, health education, and health services. And this combined structure has been shown to have positive health outcomes for their participants in areas such as improved diarrhea treatment among children, improved breastfeeding practices, increased household consumption, increased contraceptive use, and among many other things, increased knowledge on the prevention and transmission of HIV/AIDS. So many indigenous artisans throughout the world participate in these income generation programs and sell their handcrafted artisan items as their business. For example, in Guatemala, 39% of the population self-identifies as indigenous, and it's very well known for its hand-woven textiles made using a backstrap loom. So weaving in Guatemala is not only used to create the traditional indigenous clothing, but also as a main source of income for many indigenous Guatemalan women. In fact, there are over 1 million female weavers in Guatemala, making up 5% of the total population and 15% of the total labor force. So although much has been studied on how these programs affect the lives of the participants, very little research has been done on the consumers that these artisans hope to sell to. What we do know about consumers has been through studies on fair trade. As many of you know, fair trade aims for sustainable development by improving the trading and working conditions of producers. Fair trade is increasingly popular throughout the world. In fact, in 2012, global shoppers spent 4.8 billion euro on fair trade items, compared to 1.6 billion euro in 2006. However, despite fair trade's increasing popularity, there's still what has been coined the term the ethical purchasing gap. And this is that consumers' intentions are not translating into their actions. So for example, one-third of consumers will state that they pay attention to an organization's ethics when they're considering whether or not to purchase a product. However, the market share of these products is only 3%. So we really need to understand more about why consumers are purchasing the items that they do. What has been done on consumer purchasing behavior has been done because of fair trade. So these studies have really focused on products that are fair trade certified, and craft products are not yet fair trade certifiable, so they've been left out of this literature for the most part. And these studies have mainly focused on food items such as coffee, chocolate, or tea, leaving out these artisan items. So what we do know about consumers, because of fair trade's increasing popularity, many studies have been done assessing consumers' purchasing behaviors, but it's mainly around these fair trade products. So what these studies have shown us are that consumers are more motivated to buy a product if they feel that it's popular among their peers to buy similar products. They're more motivated to buy a product if they trust the information on the label or the organization that provided the information, and if they believe in the general fair trade concepts such as providing a fair wage, better working conditions, not using child labor, and transparency and accountability, for example. The barriers to purchasing fair trade or socially responsible products are that if it's set at a higher price than the product that they would have purchased otherwise, or if they're already very loyal to a specific brand, and if buying something fair trade certified means switching brands. So Mary Ann Luttrell and her colleagues have done specific research on the consumers who purchase artisan items, and they found that there are several factors that are very important that consumers take into consideration when deciding whether or not to purchase an artisan item. First is aesthetics. Is the product made with quality? Has it been made with the best threads or the best colors? Or did they just fall in love with the piece, see it, and decide that they had to have it and take it home with them? The second is functionality. Does the product serve a purpose? This purpose could be something such as hand-carved wooden salad tongs that they're going to use on a daily basis to serve salad, or the purpose of the product could be a centerpiece rug in their household that makes everything else pop, and it's the one artistic item that they have in their household. Or is this product unique? Does the product accurately define or represent the personality of the consumer, or will the consumer be walking down the street and receive compliments on the piece that they're wearing? And finally, consumers feel that it's important to feel a connection to the artisan. So did purchasing this product help the consumer better understand the way of life of the artisan or the culture that the artisan lives in? So this brings me to the purpose of our study, which was to identify the factors that influence the purchasing behaviors of likely consumers of non-food artisan items who purchased a product made by an artisan from another country one or more times in the last 6 months. So in simpler terms, we wanted to identify why consumers who had purchased an artisan item one or more times in the last 6 months bought that item. What were the factors that motivated them to do so? So as I mentioned, we wanted to survey likely consumers of artisan products. So we contacted an organization that holds large events in big cities across the United States to promote socially and environmentally responsible living. We asked the event organizers if we would be able to survey their participants as they were leaving the event, as we thought that they would be more representative of likely consumers because these consumers had already opted into participating in this event on social and environmentally responsible living. So the event organizers actually let us add our questions to the end of an exit survey in return for us analyzing the data for them. So volunteers approached participants as they were leaving the event, and 238 participants were surveyed in D.C., 90 in San Francisco, and 77 in Los Angeles. This survey from the United States was then extended with additional questions and implemented in 4 Spanish language schools in Antigua, Guatemala. As I mentioned earlier, because of the larger study that we had also done, we had a very specific connection with the country, and we felt that students in these Spanish language schools would better represent likely consumers in the Guatemala context because they were voluntarily spending more time in the country, really learning the culture and invested in learning the language. So one researcher was present at each Spanish language school, made a general announcement during a designated coffee break explaining the purpose of the study and asking participants if they'd like to participate. And students were actually given a locally made banana bread as compensation. And we surveyed 58 students in the Spanish schools for a total of 463 surveys. Overall, for every participant to be surveyed, they had to be at least 18 years of age and be able to complete the survey in English. And the participants in the United States had to have attended the event the day that the survey was administered, and participants in the Spanish language schools had to be currently enrolled in that Spanish language school. Verbal consent was given before each survey was administered. They were all self-administered and took approximately 5 to 15 minutes to fill out. And the survey questions addressed topics such as demographics, importance of product characteristics when deciding whether or not to purchase an artisan item, and frequency of purchasing an artisan item. The additional questions that were added to the Guatemala survey addressed questions of country of origin, reason for studying Spanish in Guatemala, and how much time would the person be spending in Guatemala. So the response categories for our questions were modeled after the work that Mary Ann Luttrell and her colleagues did, which I mentioned earlier. We then analyzed all the data using STATA. We ran 12 separate logistic regression models controlling for age, gender, socioeconomic status, and education regardless of their statistical significance. So we found that the majority of our participants were female and were under the age of 40, and 74.8% held a master's degree or higher. We also found that 52.8% made $75,000 or less annually, and the majority of our participants were surveyed in Washington, D.C. So in response to the question, when you decide whether or not to buy an item made by artisans from another country, which of the following are important to you? There were 4 answer choices, and participants were able to select all that applied. The first was, I feel connected to the artisan who made the product. The artisan group or organization is fair trade certified. The artisan group or organization says they follow fair trade principles, although the product is not fair trade certified. or some portion of the profit from the product will be used to provide education, health, housing, or other service that will help the artisan live a better life. Before I get into the results, I'd like to note that each row here represents a separate model that we ran, controlling for the demographic variables. So as you can see, all four of these variables were found to be statistically significant. However, that the organization says they follow fair trade principles had the strongest association with an odds ratio of 4.83, meaning that participants who felt that following fair trade principles was important had 4.83 greater odds of having recently purchased an artisan item one or more times in the last 6 months. And the second strongest association was found for the organization being fair trade certified. So in response to the question, when you decide whether or not to buy an item made by artisans from another country, which of the following characteristics of the product are important to you? The quality and workmanship of the product, I can use it in my daily life, the product's design and colors are in fashion, or the product will remind me of a trip taken to that country. Yet again, each respondents were able to select all that applied, and each row represents a separate model. And here you can see that three out of the four variables were found to be statistically significant: the quality and workmanship, the product's design and colors, and the product serving as a reminder of the trip. The quality and workmanship of the product had the strongest association with an odds ratio of 3.48, followed by the product serving as a reminder of a trip taken to that country. It's interesting here to note that the use that the participant could use the product in their daily life or the functionality of the product was not found to be statistically significant. So in general, how do you purchase non-food items made by artisans from another country? From an online vendor, at a retail store or artisan market in the U.S., at a retail store, festival, or artisan market while traveling outside the U.S., or other. Here you can see that three of the four variables were found to be statistically significant, but they all three had very similar associations with odds ratio of 2.29 ranging to 2.49, and the other category was not found to be significant. So in total, we ran a total of 12 logistic regression models, and in 11 of the 12 models, gender was found to be statistically significant. In the one model where gender was not statistically significant, it did show a trend in that direction. So gender ranged from the weakest odds ratio to the highest odds ratio. The weakest was found for the product being fair trade certified with an odds ratio of 1.77. And you can see by the p-value that it's not statistically significant, but this is the one that did have the trend in that direction. And the highest odds ratio was 2.17, and this was for the participant purchasing a product outside of the United States. So we identified three main limitations to this research. The first was that the participants were conveniently sampled, which could have possibly led to a selection bias. However, we did specifically want to survey likely consumers of artisan products, and we felt that people who were already attending this event on socially and environmentally responsible living were already more willing or more representative of likely consumers of artisan products, as well as the students studying Spanish in Guatemala, because they were already there voluntarily learning about the culture and the language and were there for an extended period of time. And second is that there were several errors in the wording of the demographic variables of one of the surveys. First was the response categories for age were out of chronological order in one survey, and the second was that the response categories for income did not include all possible options. However, these errors were changed in the later surveys, and we are assuming that participants responded correctly, picking the answer that best fit them, and we were able to clean the data successfully. And finally, we were limited to only four questions because we added our questions to the end of the exit survey in the surveys in the United States. The organization had concerns about the page length of the survey. So although we were only able to add four questions, adding our questions to the end of the exit survey did allow us to survey more participants in the end. So I do have several recommendations for organizations and artisans. First is that they market fair trade principles. Fair trade certification can be very expensive and timely and not feasible for many small organizations, so it's best to focus, it's best to promote that you follow fair trade principles, as this was found to be very important to the consumers that we surveyed. Second is that the artisan organization always guarantees the highest quality of their products, ensuring that there's consistency through designs or that they're using the best threads or the best materials possible. And since it was very important for the consumers that we surveyed that they felt that part of the profit went towards bettering the life of the artisan, it's recommended that artisans explain how this purchase will affect their life. They could possibly provide answers to what are they going to spend the extra income on, is it going to go to food for their family or increased education for their children. And our consumers that we surveyed also felt that it was very important that they felt a connection to the artisan. Therefore, it's recommended that artisans market their products in a very personable way, which could be adding a photo of themselves on the tag or adding a story explaining their way of life or what doing this craft means to them. And finally, it's recommended that organizations provide marketing trainings for these artisans. They could provide trainings on how to approach consumers or what consumers want when they're looking for a product. And we do have several recommendations for future research as well. More research should be done on non-food items. Many of the studies that have been done on fair trade items, which are coffee, chocolate, tea. Those are the most popular ones. But many artisans do participate in these programs, and more research on non-food items, such as artisan items, would add to the literature. And second is that organizations that follow fair trade principles should be studied more, as many organizations that are studied are only fair trade certified. But participants did mention that fair trade principles, following these fair trade principles, was very important. And finally, is that more research be done on other likely consumers and their purchasing behaviors, such as more studies could be done on expats living in the country where the artisan works, or other host country nationals living in the country where the artisan works. Or other likely consumers in the United States could include parents that adopted a children from the country where the artisan is living and working. So in conclusion, focusing on the purchasing behaviors of likely consumers could help improve income generation projects, improve the health and well-being of their clients by ensuring artisans maintain a strong consumer market. So if artisans do not have a strong market through which to sell their products, their businesses will be unsustainable, and these income generation programs will be unable to create a sustainable model through which to improve the health and well-being of the participants. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Max.